I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and LaGrimade with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB,
X-Chicken,
Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go!
News and LaGrimade.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Old friend. Can you believe it? It's a new sound wave. Like the first time in, I don't know, possibly a year. So we're all older, fatter, except for Peter, and grayer, less hair, except for Peter.
No, I definitely have less hair.
Oh, really? Are you going bald? It's okay to admit it.
I think so.
Oh, it's sad. Isn't it sad?
Oh, it's awful.
It starts coming out of your ears and nose too. I hate to break it to you. So invest in a nose trimmer. Anyway, it's Rob, it's Peter, it's XV, it's John, it's the whole crew. It's crazy, crazy.
It's amazing.
It is. It's a miracle of technology.
So John, what did it take to bring us back together for this show?
Well, XV, since you so conveniently asked. The next generation.
This wasn't planned or anything.
Yeah, right. No, we didn't rehearse this. We really didn't rehearse this. It's the next generation, and actually, this is like we're recording this on the eve of E3, so even more stuff is going to happen this following week. Probably when you're listening to this, but what happened was the Xbox One, oh my, and the PS4 were unveiled. And so there's plenty of to talk about. There's actually way more to talk about with the Xbox One. That's not a good thing, than the PS4. So guys, let's get into it. Actually, first, if you guys don't mind, I would like to hand the floor to Rob, because Rob has been burning Twitter down with his thoughts on specifically the Xbox One. So Rob, take it away, sir. What are your impressions of the Xbox One?
This is a disaster. This is an absolute disaster, and it is going to do them no good at all. Okay, the first thing is that, you know, they've been talking for months now about how they're going to try and come up with ways to, you know, deal with the used game market. The used market that every other form of media has somehow endured. They just have to do something about that. So what they've come up with is, and one of the things that bugs me about this is the way that they are phrasing it. They're not going to keep you from buying used games. Oh, no. Publishers are enabled to let you buy games used.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, you know, do this thing that everyone has been able to do forever. The publishers can now decide if you get to do that or not. And the way it's phrased, it's like Microsoft had no say in this whatsoever. It's like, no, it's not us. You know, we didn't create this hardware or anything. We're going to let publishers decide what to do with it. You know, I don't know how they got the mechanism to do this into our hardware, but they're going to be the ones who get to decide whether or not you get to buy used games. Okay, that's strike one.
That's a big strike. That's a big strike. Yeah. Also, I like that in their responses. By the way, we'll get into a couple other things on Xbox One. I like in their responses they do use the word like choice and publishers over and over again. Like it is choice. Life is full of choices, like good and bad. It's, you know, it's just kind of the way things go. So this is all about choice. And if somebody chooses to do this, you can't get too mad, because it's a choice, right? It's just an opinion. We're all friends here. We're all black friends. And then, also, yes, like just footing the bill to the publisher and essentially absolving them. Oh, and then the same breath, they've also essentially said, you know, Microsoft Studios is your friend. Now, Microsoft Studios will not do any of the big scary things, at least right off the bat, that you fear, as in like no used, you know, rental games. Well, rental games, they've said you're not going to be able to essentially rent games, but they are quote unquote looking into the opportunity down the road of the concept of a game you can rent. We got to do some research. We got to do focus groups before we can weigh in on that, on that foreign concept of game rentals.
Well, think about it. I mean, renting has not been... It hasn't been vetted through years and years of consumer test groups, right? So you have to spend a lot of money to figure out how the rental process actually works.
It's a right. new frontier.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, Blockbuster, screw that.
Yeah, I mean, I totally, when I was 8 years old, never got to rent, like, Nintendo games because there wasn't enough money at once to keep buying a new library of games over and over.
During, like, you know, my holiday gaming lengthy sessions, I didn't go to my nearest Blockbuster and rent multiple games so my cousins and I could just, like, pig out on video games.
Oh, totally.
A week and a half straight.
That never happened.
No. That never happened.
And I never look forward to my uncle coming over every month because he's going to bring me a new game to borrow. I mean, certainly not.
No.
Borrowing is not allowed.
Why would anybody ever let you borrow the game that they are licensing from the publisher?
Yes.
Madness. Hey, you can do some odd... methods of transfer. So here's one way that it's, I think they're presenting this as a solution, and it's more just kind of weird until we see it and get a feel for it. That is the concept of game transferring. So apparently, with your disc-based games, you can transfer them to friends and family that are on your friends list, but they have to be a friend for at least 30 days, so a very long time. So if you blow through a game in 5 days, you're stuck with it for 25 days before you can transfer it, and you can only do that once. So once it's transferred from one account to another, it's done. I mean, we'll see kind of how that plays out, but that seems like it almost seems like this weird, like, consolation. Like, they're going to throw us this weird bone and hope that that's good enough for us. Like, we're going to forget about what we just talked about.
It's like, hey, guys, we haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah, we have now invented this square peg, and it's time to figure out how to hammer it into the round hole of reality.
Yes, very strange, very strange. Okay, so the other thing that they're getting a lot of heat for is the always connected aspect of Xbox One. So the summary... is essentially they didn't really talk about always online at the Xbox One unveiling, so it was kind of the press's job and follow-up questions after the conference to ask about it, because they didn't really talk about it, and they got a bunch of conflicting answers. So one from one source, they essentially said no, the Xbox doesn't have to be online all the time. And through other sources, they said, no, it doesn't have to be online all the time. It does have to connect at least once every 24 hours to check in and just say hello to Microsoft. So that's not all the time, just every day within 24 hours. It has to, or you've kind of got a giant brick. So I don't know what to make of semantics here, but that's also something that frankly sucks, because how many people have broadband? You know,
well,
still.
And the really galling thing to me about how the official statement has been worded is that it's okay if you don't have Ethernet access because you can just use mobile broadband.
Don't have that either.
That's not even the point. Like, you may not have that, but it's like the trend is people are getting their asses capped in mobile broadband.
Yeah.
You think about one game of... I'm going to sync up. Once you sync up, right? You turn on that Xbox, your plan is not to sync up. Oh, I got to sync up really quickly. I'm going to turn it off after that. You're obviously going to go and play a game. So you're going to sit there and be like, oh, why don't I just play, you know, a game of Call of Duty on my Xbox? That is going to take, like, I don't know, like 6 or 7 gigs for multiple games, right? It's going to kill your phone will be done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're going to charge you $9,000 billion on your next bill, and you're not going to understand where it came from.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, mobile question aside, who here has had their internet, their broadband go out for more than a day when there's been a storm or
Sure.
I sure have.
I used to, yeah.
Well, I don't live in hurricane country, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You don't live in the derecho land?
Right. you know, my internet outages come from really bad home wiring jobs and occasional mishaps with cows.
Yes.
But I do understand the prolonged internet outage concept in, you know, theory at least.
Yeah.
But that's not even the point, right? It's like, I bought this system. Why do I need to connect it?
What's yeah.
Right. Well, they have to make sure that you're using it correctly.
Yes.
Right, right. So it's, yeah.
And one of the big things about this, both the used game situation and this, is that it all seems like it has been very carefully crafted to weasel out of the responsibility for this draconian DRM. It's like, well, you yes. don't have to be connected all the time, just once a day. There are still used games. We might let you do used games, or rather the publisher might let you do used games. You know, it's all about pretending not to lock the thing down while you are locking it down as tight as possible.
Well, yeah, and see, the way I'm seeing this is, like, Microsoft is basically saying, you know, guys, if it was up to us, this thing would dispense chocolate puppies for you every day.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, could you bend forward a little bit farther?
Uh-huh. Right, like, it's like, hey, look, guys, I mean, if we made all the games, then of course we would let you buy and trade and sell and do whatever you wanted. But when it comes to the likes of, you know, all these other publishers, we have to be fair. So we have to let them bend you over however far they feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, essentially,
like, might like you.
It's hard out there for a pimp. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's hard to be Microsoft, the pimp of video games. Right?
Peter, here's another one for you. I guess this is strike three, but there's probably more than three strikes. Kinect. Kinect is essentially effectively always on, and the camera is so good. Here's an interesting thing for you. They didn't really talk about this, but Microsoft has patented this technology. The Kinect can actually count how many people are in the room, and they haven't said they're going to do this, but I bet you at some point Netflix or somebody's going to do this. But they've patented the technology where they can now specify the number of simultaneous viewers of content are associated with a license. So if you say, Netflix, I'm going to drag Netflix into this. Say your Netflix license says you can only have 8 simultaneous viewers of any of our content, any of our shows. And the Kinect knows this. And so the Kinect counts in your living room when you fire up Arrested Development. It counts 9. And it shuts down.
Hide behind the couch, Mom.
Yeah, right.
You know, it shuts down. I have to wonder, though, how smart is the Kinect camera? Could you just, like, suspend a photo in front of it? And it would read that?
It would know that it's a photo. It can tell. Even the current generation Xbox can tell. Or the current generation Kinect can tell if it's a human or just a thing on the floor. It can tell.
Yeah, because it can tell, like, if you, like, throw your jacket off or something like that. It's not like, it's another human body that went, like, flying across the room. It's like, oh, no, it's like a leather jacket. It can tell stuff like that.
The current generation Kinect is already scary enough as it is.
And so, this one's always on.
I mean, all the stuff that they already talked about that they have already confirmed is, like, how can you, like, it's crazy. How can this microphone, like, how can you hear my heartbeat? How can you check my BMI?
I can't hear my heartbeat. I don't have one.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Just kill a guy. Number 9. That's okay.
That's another case, Rob, actually. So you have, like, this stance where Microsoft is essentially, like, telling everybody, look, it's not what you think. If you read the fine print, it's exactly what you think, but it's not what you think. Like, they're getting into semantics and kind of qualifiers and things like that. So mm-hmm. they'll tell you can shut Kinect off, but the microphone is always on and always listening, you know, and we'll tell you that it's always listening because you may call to it. So it always has to be on, but we really, like, you know, in the end, can they guarantee that's all it's listening for? The fact is the microphone is always on.
Living rooms are no longer safe.
Hide your kids.
What they said was you could turn it off, like turn off that feature of the, like, always on feature.
Yeah, you can, but I mean, the thing is, like, at this point, this is, I guess, the saddest part. At this point, no matter what they say, everybody has to, like, go to the fine print, or, like, everybody has to comb over the full, like, hyper-detailed answer, because since they debuted the Xbox One, they've been in this constant mode of, it's not as bad as you're saying. It's only this bad. And, you know, acting like that is that everybody should be happy with that. You know, so that's, and so in other words, like, we can't take their answers at face value because their answers are always technically true, but spiritually not the answer that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. And that's really a weird way to start marketing your new console. I mean, to come out of the gate with Xbox One, it's not as bad as it sounds. Trust us.
You know, the funny thing is, on the flip side, right, I know we'll get into PS4 later, but it's like, Xbox One, it's like, okay, you guys gave us some information, but didn't give us everything. Versus Sony, which didn't give you anything.
Yeah, and I'm a little worried about that, because in one of their various press releases, they did say something very similar about, we're not going to make you pay for used games. You know, as if they're also leaving it up to the publisher. So, you know,
EA Online Pass will be back.
Oh God! So why don't we talk about PS4 right now? I guess to sum up this, I guess the scariest thing too, Rob, is a lot of the things that Xbox is going to do remind me of kind of like baggage fees at the airlines. So we vilified the first airline to do it, and then they all did it. And so it just became kind of the world the way it is. I'm afraid that, like, Xbox is getting roasted for all these things. They're just the first one. So, like, Sony's going to be like, well, they're doing it, so if we do it, no one really has anywhere to go now, do they? So then all of a sudden everybody's stuck with it. But I will say that PlayStation 4 had a much better first impression than Xbox, because it was all about, like, games. Games, games, games. So,
yeah, what was Xbox's first impression about?
TV, sports, and dogs, essentially. Oh, and that we're stealing your privacy.
Yes.
Well, yes, of course.
Right. Mm. Well, their marketing plan was, you know, it's a twofer. You know, the chapter one is the system and entertainment possibilities, and then chapter two is their video games. Other than, you know, Call of Duty
Xbox.
Ghosts.
Oh, yes.
Dog Edition and FIFA 2015.
Yeah, Sony's current line is they're making, Microsoft is making an entertainment device and we're making a console. With, you know, it still remains to be seen if that's how it plays out, but they could do really well if they play a little bit nicer.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there, John. Maybe it's possible that Sony's like, you know, why don't we just give a small amount? Sony just says, why don't we just give a small amount of information as possible and wait until Microsoft announces pretty much exactly in terms of used games and DRM stuff and always on stuff that we're going to talk about anyway, but we're just going to let them throw themselves under the bus first. And then we'll just be like, and then we'll just lie down, you know, 25, 30 feet next to them, and nobody will really care about us while we slip ourselves under the radar and just do this.
Yeah, because the problem is, I mean, if Microsoft says, you know, really all of this is because the publishers kind of want it, like they're implying that the publishers want to go this direction. So who are we to stop the creatives and the studios? The same studios and creatives that make PlayStation games. So PlayStation could be like, yeah, you know what, they're right. We're gonna just leave it up to the publishers. And so now, obviously, the publishers are screwed. They're stuck in the middle. But both giant companies have kind of washed their hands of it, and you know, they kind of have not necessarily an agreement, but they have like an understanding with each other, is that, you know, what's good for you is good for me, and if people bitch and moan, then there's nowhere to go. If both next generation consoles are effectively treating the marketplace the same way, what can you do other than complain? You know.
Well, there is one place to go.
Where's that, Rob?
That would be PC.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, yes. Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo is an option.
Yeah, Nintendo is an option. I suspect in the long run that PC is going to be more likely to get the same games you could play on the other two consoles, because historically that has been true. But, you know, I think the Wii U has not done too well so far, and this could actually be a tremendous opportunity for Nintendo if they figure out what to say and when about how they're doing business so far.
And effectively, both these, both the PS4 and the Xbox One are very PC-like. Under the hood, they're very similar to each other, first of all. They're very, very similar. And second of all, their architecture is essentially like a PC, but, you know, optimized for gaming. So, I mean, it's essentially a gaming PC.
Down to the, you know, like down to the Intel-based processors, right? They both run... Mm-hmm. I think Intel based right now, because they used to run the power, like IBM processors or something.
Yeah,
at least the Xbox used to.
This is kind of something we talked about in the past anyway, with, you know, there's not a lot of room forward for consoles to go. Mm-hmm. You know, they're already approaching a technological wall, and we're just kind of seeing that with them starting to merge more toward what a home computer is.
Well, a lot of the problems of PC gaming have been worked out. It is not as difficult to get into as it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And, you know, to a certain extent, with at least in terms of controls, some of that is thanks to consoles. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is getting to be a lot less difference, except that if the PlayStation 4 is along the same lines as the Xbox One, 10 years from now, when the service is discontinued, my PC will be outdated, but it will not be a paperweight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, Peter, what were your impressions of the PlayStation 4 when it was unveiled?
I mean, I feel like the PlayStation, you know, Sony is continuing to do the same thing that we used to, you know, that we would always vilify them for, is that essentially... some of the stuff that they do is cool, but at the same time, I feel like it's really behind. Like, we're going to stick with this six-axis controller thing, as well as this, like, camera thing, and which that thing has essentially been, you know, dead on arrival, yet they still keep pushing that idea. So I kind of feel that, you know, Sony, you know, they do make, you know, I do appreciate that they say, you know, Microsoft has consistently, through the 7 or 8 years that the Xbox has, 360 has gone on shelf in terms of the shelf, and said, you know, we're going to turn this towards an entertainment console. This is going to become your... this is going to replace your DVR. This is going to replace, you know, your TiVo thing. While Sony says, we're going to build you a gaming console, and we're not going to try to sugarcoat it and turn it into something else. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you're essentially just doing this to slap more hardware on it and keep pushing technologies that nobody really cared about.
And it was still, like, all about the hardware, too. Like, they didn't show the box. We don't know really what the PlayStation 4 looks like. But the controller, I mean, they lavished over the controller at the launch.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
all over it, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice, I guess. I mean, it's like, okay, it's another DualShock. It's like a nuanced DualShock, which is what every new DualShock is. But, I mean, it's not going to set the world on fire, but they are effectively a hardware company, and so it came across like that. I will say, I did really like in their presentation that they did. I mean, their presentation really was all about games. You know, we're making games. We listened to the developers. They've been talking to the developers, seemingly, according to them, a lot longer than Microsoft, asking them for what they want. Even like it's going to so far as to making kind of like an independent gaming home for the PlayStation, really tending to the independent games. And really, PlayStation 3 had had made some great little titles available, either exclusively or certainly made a much bigger deal of games like Journey, that, you know, seem to be much more independent and down home and kind of, you know, interesting, I guess. And seems like they're playing that up. So, I mean, I did appreciate their, I appreciated their debut because they spoke to me as a gamer. But the problem is, if at E3 Xbox One essentially catches up and just like floods the media with game stuff, then they've kind of, I mean, as much as we hate the Xbox One right now, as far as like a game, positioning themselves as a game console, they can pretty much catch up at E3. I mean, they can just, you know, lay it out all on the table, and they've caught up effectively, you know?
At the same time, I think as long as Sony is not saying much, nobody's going to really throw in behind the Xbox One until Sony does something to piss everybody off to an equal extent. Everybody's going to be coasting along on the assumption that, okay, Sony's not saying they're going to do this to us, so why don't we just hang out for the PlayStation 4 instead?
So do you think game makers are really kind of freaked out too by the perception now of the Xbox One? You think they're gun shy about even like talking about what they're doing?
You know, I've been giving that some consideration because Microsoft is wanting to put the blame onto the publishers for if a game cannot be used again after the first purchase. But I have to wonder too, what direction that's actually going in, because we know the games are where Microsoft and Sony make the money back on the consoles they produce. The consoles are almost always produced at a loss. And, you know, without the games in there to bring the money back in, it's a losing proposition in the first place. You know, I think it's a little bit more complicated than what we think is going on with it just from hearing one side. I don't think the publishers want to openly speak out against anything because they're really reliant on their contracts with the big companies. But I don't think they can be pushed too far either, because if Microsoft's doing stuff that's going to make people go, okay, I'm not buying that game through this system from this publisher, it's the same net result.
And I wonder if they're you know, under their breath going, oh my God, when they read these like responses, because they have no say really, but Microsoft has just kind of thrown them under the bus, like you said, Peter. You know what I mean? They're saying, we'll leave it up to the publishers. We'll leave it up to the publishers. Like, I wonder like how clearly that was communicated to the publishers. And I mean, certainly Microsoft didn't like check with all of them saying, hey, is it okay if we like blame it on you? Like, for everything, like, thanks, bye. And then, like, you know, then send out the emails. There must be kind of a tense relationship right now where the publishers are effectively, like you said, XV, kind of stuck, you know?
Although, I have to think EA is probably elated.
Oh, yeah. EA and Activision and Ubisoft? I never know how to pronounce
it. I always go with Ubisoft, but...
Okay, yeah, and they're just, I mean, they just love it. They are so happy.
Yeah,
because
they've been trying to do this themselves anyway up to this point. And that was something I was thinking about earlier when we were first talking about Microsoft saying it would be the publisher's decision. And it kind of is in their case, because with or without the help of the console to lock out used games, they would be working on methods to do it on their own. They've done it with exclusive codes that are sold with the new release of the games. Mm-hmm. Although I think as far as that goes, it's just a matter of features being locked out if you don't have the code, rather than the whole game being disabled. But
well,
I mean,
for EA Online Pass, it was the entire online, you know, matchmaking thing going on.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, that's a major part of their gameplay. But, I mean, even without the console support to do it easier, you know, it's already heading down that path with certain publishers. So not all the publishing houses are going to have a real problem with what's going on.
Good points. Hey, to wrap up the show, XV, I think in celebration of... I guess the return, if for one night only, or almost one night only, new Soundwave, you have prepared a random hypothetical.
It just wouldn't be a new Soundwave without a random hypothetical. Right, Peter?
No, I guess not.
Peter's sweaty. Peter is going balder at a faster rate all of a sudden.
Okay, so I was confronted with this question some weeks ago by Rob's brother Jay, so credit for the scenario to him. Now, your dick is detachable.
God.
Okay, so it just so happens, for reasons that don't need to be explained, that you must lend it to one of two people for a week without ever knowing any details of what happened while it was away. Your choices are William Shatner or George Takei.
Oh my gosh. Oh, awesome.
So, Rob, when this was presented before, you didn't actually weigh in, so why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about this, because once I had advanced knowledge. Okay, I've heard some things about William Shatner. I've heard about the pranks he has played on his cast members. When the original Star Trek was filming, Leonard Nimoy used a bike to get from place to place on the set. Shatner kept stealing it and hiding it places, eventually having it suspended from the ceiling in one of the sound stages. Awesome. He used to steal bear claws from the craft services table on the set of Star Trek VI, just to annoy DeForest Kelly. In his Star Trek movie memories book, he described 73-year-old DeForest Kelly chasing him around the table when he finds this out, screaming, "Shatner, it was you!" So, it's George Takei.
You know, Rob,
he seems like a responsible person.
Rob, what I've learned from this just now is that I'm William Shatner. John?
Yeah, because Peter's got to go last. That's for sure.
I'm last, but I've already answered the question once already. So.
Oh, you have? All right. Okay. I will also say George, because he seems like a decent, safe guy. So I'm gonna say, like, whatever he does with my detachable dick, he will give it the proper care. The proper protection, let's just say. And you know what I mean? I think I'm much more comfortable with, like, George Takei's group of friends than William Shatner's. I'm kind of frankly scared to think who William Shatner really hangs out with. And I feel like George probably hangs out with much more, like, normal crowd. So I'm going to hand it to Georgie.
Okay. Peter?
Well, I think I'm gonna have to go with the George Takei, because William Shatner is a crazy man. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure what he does in his spare time, what he feels is a proper place to put said object. And I mean George Takei is married, so sexually he's probably a little bit less promiscuous, and probably they. You know, hopefully his, as long as they're not swingers, which we don't, I mean, obviously, exactly know, but yeah, I think in the limited range of knowledge that I have in the personal lives of George Takei and William Shatner, just on face value, I'll stick with, George Takei.
Can I just say real quick that Peter just put on the record that Sulu goes to key parties? I would just like to put that on the table. That's on the record.
Wow. Way to go, Peter. So I'm sticking with the answer I originally answered this with, which is William Shatner.
Ooh.
Because, among other reasons, just imagine the story you'd be able to tell that William Shatner probably pranked somebody with your detachable dick.
I can't argue that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's true.
I mean, to me,
but how he pranks them with your dick.
Ah, but see, like I said, you can never know what happened during the week it was gone. So right. You can assume he probably pulled a prank on somebody with it, but you'll never know what exactly happened to it, and I can live with that.
You'll know when it's come back and it's, like, fully rotted.
Well, that would kind of suck, but basically my motivation for the answer is just think of the story I could tell people.
Yes. Yes. If detachable dicks could talk.
But I'm also going to share Rob's brother's answer with this, because it ends in a way that I kind of like. He was kind of on the same page as you, John, where, you know, George would treat it with respect. And he also suggested that, you know, he might take it places and it might help to further civil rights in some way. And that essentially George Takei would make your dick matter.
Oh, boo. okay, so on that note, thank you guys so much for a reunion of sorts. Oh, my
gosh.
Thank
you, John.
Oh, my goodness. All it took was, like, the biggest flop in video game history, perhaps. But
yes, all it took was the potential demise of console gaming.
Yes. All it took was Bill Gates possibly spontaneous human combustion, just leaving shoes in his glasses, perhaps.
I don't think we really need to lie that XV really had this question posed to him, and he just said, you know, I really need to ask Peter this question.
Rob? Rob, would you like to explain to Peter what happened as soon as we heard the question?
The first, when my brother asked us this question, the first thing out of my mouth was random hypothetical.
Awesome. Uh-huh.
Where did he get this?
He got this from sleep deprivation and having been struck by lightning multiple times in his life. That's where
Whoa.
He got that.
God. Awesome. That'll do it, buddy. That'll do it. For the guys, for Peter, for Rob, for me, John, for XV, this has been New Soundwave. We'll see you again at some point in the future, I'm guessing. Until then, see you guys around.
2-1-0. Game over.
And this is a spell I use in my garden, Your Highness. Watch.
Wonderful! It's getting bigger!
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.